Well, good morning. I'm Clay Smith, the lead pastor at Alice Drive Baptist Church in Sumter, South Carolina. Thanks for worshiping with us this morning. It's 11:16 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I'm so glad that you've tuned in to this live message. Before we begin, let's share a prayer together because these are challenging times for us all. Let's pray. Father, I do pray this morning for our leaders. Give them great wisdom. There's a lot of decisions to be made that really put lives at stake. I pray, Father, for frontline caregivers that you'd strengthen them. Many are struggling under difficult conditions, lack of proper supplies. Protect them. God, there are people who are sick with COVID-19. I pray for their healing. And I pray that this epidemic would soon die out. I pray, God, for those who are grieving. And help us remember, God, that just because the grief hasn't touched our family, doesn't mean that there's not a family that is touched. So comfort them. Help us all know how to live in these days, these challenging days. Father, keep guard over our restless hearts so that we will not turn to sin and so that we will turn to you. I ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, believe it or not, it was Easter. And I preached a message about what Easter means for your body. And after that message, my adult children who came up for Easter said to me, "Dad, that was a really good sermon." And that always makes your heart feel good to know that your adult children think it's a good sermon. And I said, "Well, what made it good to you?" And they said, "Well, Dad, we've never heard a message about our bodies in church, how our bodies are part of our soul." And then one of my children said, "Hey, Dad, you know what? You ought to preach a series on body and soul and how they relate." And when they said that, there was something inside my soul, my spirit, that kind of shifted and said, "Yes, that's exactly what I need to do." And so today we start a message series entitled Body and Soul. Most of the messages I have heard in church, most of the teaching I've heard in church about the human body has to do with sex. And specifically, don't sin sexually with your body. Sex is for marriage. And that's good teaching. But you know, the Bible actually has a lot to say about things like food and rest and about even exercise. Why don't we hear messages about that? Why is there not much teaching around those subjects? Well, I can't speak for other preachers and teachers. I can only speak for myself. And I can share with you that for me, growing up and even into adulthood, there have been a lot of messages about shame that I've incorporated into my soul. Shame about my body. When I was growing up, my parents were good parents, but they were not the kind of people who ever said, "Hey, you're really good looking." They were not the kind of people who ever said, "My, you're handsome." And even when we were sick, our message usually was, "Well, suck it up and keep going." Again, it's not that my parents were bad. It's just the way they were raised. So I don't ever remember feeling blessed about my body. In fact, most of the time, I felt compared to someone else who was more athletic, someone else who was better looking. And then I became a young adult, and I was less active than I had been in my teenage years, and I began to put on weight. And that became a struggle through all of my adult life. And I felt very ashamed about my body. Most people experience this sometime or another, some form or another. 90% of all Americans would like to change something about their body. The rest are either supermodels or they're just clueless. Isn't it true? Most of us want to change something about our bodies. You know, the sad thing is this shame that I feel about my body, I should know better. I mean, I'm a pastor. And even in our church at Alice Drive, one of our values is we believe church should be a place of grace. That this is a place where everybody is welcome and nobody is perfect. Where we can talk about hard things and have safe conversations. But maybe like you, I have this little voice in my head that chatters A friend of mine calls it a crazy monkey. And that crazy monkey voice says, yes, there is grace for everybody but you. You have a voice like that? Well, I do. Well, it's time for you and I to quit listening to that voice and start listening to the voice of our Heavenly Father. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, speaking to us. And every one of us, whether we are young or old, whether we are healthy or sick, overweight, underweight, arthritic, pregnant, hurting, hungry, or full, every one of us needs the grace of God for our bodies. So let's dive in. First of all, let's understand that your body is part of your soul. Now, we believe you do not have a soul. You are a soul. The soul is the sum total of your life. It is a complex arrangement of your heart, your will, where you make decisions. It is part of your soul is your mind, where you have feelings and thoughts. Part of your soul is your relationships with people that you like, love, and you even have relationships with people you don't like or people you don't love. And you have a body. Your body is the seat of your appetites and desires. Your body is your personal energy pack that helps you function in the physical world. Think of your body as a pipe. It is the conduit by which your soul expresses itself into the physical world. Your body helps you be alive. It is you. It's funny, you cannot be you without your body. Think about this. We can do heart transplants, lung transplants, kidney transplants, even liver transplants, but nobody can do a body transplant. It's not possible. And when something happens to your body, it impacts your whole soul. It can help you doubt who you are. I read about a man who was a double amputee from injuries received in combat. And he said, without my legs, I don't know who I am. I've heard people who've had bypass surgery express something similar. I don't know who I am now. There's something different about my heart, literally, physically. Puberty is such a rough time for kids. Because their bodies are changing. And it changes almost day to day. And they don't know who they are. That's why you need to have a lot of grace for middle schoolers. And why we ought to pay middle school teachers a lot of money. Have you noticed that what happens in your body impacts your whole soul? If you get sick, do you make good decisions? If your body is hurting, are you in a good mood? If something's going on in your body, if you feel a lot of joy, if you can look in the mirror and say, hey, I look pretty good, doesn't it brighten your whole day? Likewise, what happens in your soul impacts your whole body. Those of you who've lost someone, you may have experienced grief as literal physical pain. Ever fell in love? That emotion? Do you remember Bambi and being Twitterpated? Some of you, that happens to you. You can actually feel it. Your heart races. There's this excitement. It exists. It's a feeling. It's real. You can actually think with your mind and make yourself sick. It's called hypochondria. We have to make all kinds of decisions in our soul, with our heart, and they affect our body, what we eat, what we drink, what we wear, how we exercise, if we rest. And so you need to realize your body is important. And because you matter to God, your body matters to God. Let me say that again. Because you matter to God, your body matters to God. Now, this idea that your body matters to God is really unpacked in a portion of the 139th Psalm. So I hope you have a Bible. Open it up and let's look together at the 139th Psalm. This is a prayer, a song. They would sing prayers in those days. And it's praising God for God's knowledge and his intimate knowledge, especially of the human body. And we're going to look at just a very short portion of the psalm, starting in verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Isn't this beautiful poetry? Well, I think we can tease many truths out of this brief section of Scripture. But today I want to really explore four truths that this poetry expresses. And here's the first one. Your body is not an accident. It is a creation. Your body's not an accident. It's a creation. You were created intentionally by God. God creates not only a way for human beings to reproduce, but he also joins in that process. You are who you are because of God's creating you. Now, this is contrary to what I call radical evolution. Radical evolution says that all of us are products of mathematical probability, that we're here by random chance. But I actually think the evidence suggests otherwise. You look at the human body, and you can tell we are designed to function in a certain way. Notice in this psalm the language of sewing. How God knits. God weaves. God has made your body to be what it is. Think about how God designed your body. Right now, you're listening to this message, but you're also multitasking. And you're not even aware of it. Your heart is beating. You're not saying, beat, 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 beat. You're breathing. You're not saying, breathe, 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 breathe. Your body is digesting your breakfast and processing the coffee that you've received. And already, some of you, your body, without thinking about it, is producing adrenaline because you see your two-year-old about to plug the cat's tail into an electrical socket. Your body's doing all of that. You are incredibly designed as a creation of God. Now you may protest and say, well, I don't really like the way God made me. And I totally get that. Most of us wish we could change something about the way God made us. And this is a little tricky when we talk about this, because what about people who are born and they have a birth defect? They're malformed. Well, we have to remember that our bodies are conceived and born into a sinful world. And that means nothing is quite the way God wanted it to be, but you can still see evidence of God's design. We're going to talk more about that later on in this message series. Here's my counsel to you. If you're not happy with your body, if there's something about your body that frustrates you, maybe a good prayer to pray is, Heavenly Father, please help me understand my body. Help me understand, Heavenly Father, why you made me this way. How do I live with my physical limitations? What am I supposed to do about my addiction? What does this illness mean for me? I heard a Catholic monk, Father Don Bison, give a talk. In that talk, he said the most amazing thing, that we all face a challenge to receive the very first gift God gave to us, our bodies. Maybe you have trouble receiving your body as a gift from God. So maybe a start for you is to say, Heavenly Father, help me understand my body. Here's the second truth that I think we can tease out of this psalm. And that is, you need to appreciate your body. There's this incredible phrase here. A lot of you have stenciled out this phrase and put it in your child's nursery when you had a baby. Then the phrase is that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. What does that mean? Well, the word fearful doesn't translate well from Hebrew into English. The best way to translate the word is that we are caused to be astonished. And the word wonderful actually the best way to understand that is to be unique. And so to really get close to the meaning of this phrase, we probably ought to translate it like this. I praise you for causing me to be astonishing and unique. Now, if you're watching this with somebody, maybe you ought to just turn to them real quick and look at them and say, you are astonishing. Because you are. And you're unique. Billions of people on this earth, and nobody is you. So there are ways that we need to appreciate our body. What are those ways? Well, one of the ways you can appreciate your body is to actually take care of it. It's the only one you're going to ever have. I'll talk more about this next week. But you can also take time to appreciate your body by being in awe of the way God made it. Let me ask you to do something a little silly. How about taking your index finger and start wiggling it? Will you do that? I just want you to think about how amazing this is. You heard a command, your brain processed it. And your brain was actually processing sound. It had learned to process when you were just a little baby. And then it sent a command down your nerve system and it triggered your muscles and you're wiggling your finger and you're not actually having to think a whole lot about it other than wiggling it. And if you think this is not amazing, watch a quadriplegic in frustration trying to move their arm at all. You know, engineers have designed an artificial human hand. But they have trouble making it act like a human hand. In fact, the best interface they've come up with is to strap electrodes on a real human hand to control the robotic human hand. Isn't that amazing? You see your body holds your brain. That's an organ. And it's this repository of information that processes multiple tasks at lightning speed. And just think of everything that your body is able to do. Store memories, retrieve it, assimilate, process it. All happens in your brain. And then there's muscle memory. Think about that. You can sit down without consciously directing your body. You can walk without thinking left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. We can drive a car and listen to a podcast. Because we are able to have muscle memory. In fact, some of you try to drive a car, listen to a podcast, drink your coffee, eat your breakfast, and read the latest blog or your email while you're driving. And we want to say to you, you're asking your body to do too much. Think about your lungs, about your stomach, about your bowels, about your kidneys. You have your own personal chemical processing plant. In this torso. Isn't that incredible? See, your body right now is processing oxygen into energy. Your body is able to process carbs and protein and fat into energy. It's able to store up energy. And this happens all the time without you even thinking about it. And even though we have similar functions, and that's the basis for modern medicine, every one of us is still unique. Nobody has your memories. Nobody processes life just the way you do. You have unique features, unique hair, unique body. Even identical twins are different people. So let me offer you another prayer. How about praying, Heavenly Father, I praise you for making my body astonishing and unique. Heavenly Father, I praise you for making my body astonishing and unique. To be still and know that He is God means that you're aware of how amazing your body is. Here's a third truth we can tease out from this passage. Life is precious. Your life is a precious gift from God. Now, often when people talk about abortion, they go to these verses in the Bible. And so I think it's real important that we pause and acknowledge that sometimes what happens in our bodies, especially in women's bodies, can can raise up a number of difficult decisions. I have known women, talked with women who have had an abortion and it's wrecked their lives. And I've talked with other women, they had an abortion and they felt like it was the right thing to do. I've talked with women who desperately want to have a child, but for whatever reason, they're not able to conceive. And I've talked with women who desperately do not want the baby that they're carrying. So I want to state something obvious right up front. I'm not a woman. So I can't speak from personal experience of what that's actually like. But here's what I know. Many women are making choices about pregnancy and they're ashamed of the choices they make. It's traumatic for them. And I want you to know that no matter what happens for you, if you're a woman and pregnant, God's grace is greater still. And I want every man who's ever been involved with any pregnancy to know that God's grace is greater than any decision you might have influenced, paid for, or caused. So what does this psalm actually teach us? There's a lot of pregnancy language here. And what it teaches us is something very unique. You see, you are not just the product of biology. You are not the product just of sperm and an egg. What this is teaching us is, yes, God gives us biological ways to reproduce, but that God uniquely enters into the creation process in the womb of a woman. That he joins with that man's sperm and that woman's egg, and God is the one who is knitting the human being. God is the one who is actively involved in creating every person who's ever lived. And so when a woman is pregnant, she is co-creating with God. This is sacred activity. And so what happens in a woman's womb is to be protected, is to be honored, is to be cherished. No matter how that pregnancy begins. Let's be honest. There are women who choose to have abortions because they feel immense shame about their pregnancy. They're afraid of being condemned by their families and especially by the church. I recently heard about a woman who felt like she could not come to church because she'd had an abortion. So what I want every person to know is that there is always grace, as I said. But if you need to have a conversation about a pregnancy, this church is a place of grace. We want to come alongside you, listen, try to understand, support, encourage, pray with you. We will be a place of grace for you. Now, if pregnancy is precious, and I believe it is, then life is precious. No matter what that life or that body looks like in this world. When I was a chaplain in Louisville, Kentucky, I was assigned to the medical step-down unit from intensive care. It was called MICU. And in my unit, there was a young man who'd suffered a traumatic stroke. Part of his brain was destroyed. He wasn't a lot older than I was. And I went into his room and there he was lying on a ventilator. He'd been in the hospital almost a year in that state. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I was 25 years old. I'd never encountered anything like this. I went to talk to my supervisor and I said, what do I do? How do I relate to this person? And my supervisor, a very wise man, looked at me and said, Clay, you must remember that God loves him. Every day he experiences people coming into that room and talking about him, but not talking to him. So you talk to him. You pray with him. You read the Bible to him. Sing him a hymn. But more than anything, you remember that God loves him. No human life is a waste. And I need to remember that whenever I see people who are sick or people who are messed up or people who've made bad mistakes and gone to prison or even people who live on my street who are not living the way I think they ought to live, I need to remember that every life is precious to God. And maybe even pray this kind of a prayer. Heavenly Father, help me remember that that person is precious to you. That when Jesus died on a cross to save the world, when he died for sins, he died for me and for every person. And by his resurrection, there is a promise that if you receive him as Savior and Lord, your life will be all that it can be. I think this is something very important for us to remember right now in the life of our country. Because right now in the life of our country, there's a lot of debate about should we reopen the economy. I even saw a sign at a protest this week that said, let the weak die. You know, I think it would be different if that person was in the hospital and had the disease, tested positive for COVID-19. I don't think they'd be holding that poster. See the fallacy behind that poster is the idea that I personally will never be weak. But Jesus reminded us we're all weak. We all need our Heavenly Father and his grace. So let's remember every human life is precious. I know these are tough times. I know that our leaders face incredibly difficult choices. Some of you have lost your job. And some of you, you're struggling. You don't know how you're going to make it. But I want to affirm that there is no amount of money worth a human life. Human beings are not commodities. We are precious gifts from God. Let's treat each other that way and treat ourselves that way. Which leads me into the fourth truth we need to tease out today. Your Heavenly Father knows your body better than you. God created you. There's a phrase in this psalm that says, God ordained your days. Literally, it reads, God formed your days. I think about my children being born. They were so adorable. Little tiny toes, little tiny fingers. Oh, they were precious. And then they began to walk and talk. And they went to school and they learned math and science and went off to college and they graduated. They fell in love. They started families of their own. And God formed the days for my children. He put in them the capacity to grow and mature. Their bodies changed from being those precious little children to being now the amazing adults they are. Now, when something goes wrong in your body, God knows it before you do. God knows when the cancer is present before you can feel it. Many times I have gone to the hospital to visit people, and as I've sat there with them, they've said to me, Pastor, the doctors don't know what's wrong with me. And I will listen to their anxiety and their frustration. And then I will remind them of this simple truth. It's one I need to remember too. That God knows exactly what's going on in your body. He knows exactly what cells are sick. And he knows exactly what the future holds. And so whatever is going on in your body, it's a good thing to seek God's wisdom, God's counsel, God's input, God's advice. God designed your body to need certain things. You need some rest. And you need to be wise about rest. I think one of the things that's been a challenge during this whole pandemic is we've gotten off our regular routine. And so we're staying up late. We're getting up late. Not getting the rest we need. Some of us, we're just not eating the way we should. We're not eating as healthy as we should because it's so easy just to let ourselves go. Some of us, we're struggling with addictions, or we're struggling with other illnesses. And as soon as we cough, we worry, well, maybe the disease has struck. So do you ask God for counsel about your health? Do you ask for his advice? Do you ask for his input? And then do you take it? So here's a good prayer to pray. Heavenly Father, give me wisdom about my body. Heavenly Father, give me wisdom about my body. Now, you may need to be specific. I find that I do. Every day I have to pray, God, show me what to eat. What's right for me to eat this day? And the days when I actually listen and do what my Heavenly Father leads me to do, those days go pretty well. And when I don't, I say, no, I'm going to eat this because this tastes good. I remember that. Oh, it's usually not a very good day. That's because I'm disconnecting my soul from my Heavenly Father. Now, maybe your issue is not mine. Maybe you need to listen to your Heavenly Father and you need to actually rest. Or maybe you actually need to address your addiction, get into a 12-step program. Maybe you need to pay attention to how much you're drinking. Maybe you need to pay attention to the drugs you're taking. Maybe you need to get over some macho thing and think, I don't need to take any drugs. I'll just tough my way through it. No, no, maybe somebody wiser than you, given a gift of wisdom by God, actually knows what your body needs and knows the medicine you need to take. Your body is a gift from God. If you don't get anything else I say, I hope you'll get this. This is the main idea, not only for this message, but really for this whole series. Your body is a gift from God. He created it. You're to appreciate it. It is precious. God understands it. And a healthy body is essential for a healthy soul. You cannot have a healthy soul unless you're taking steps to have a healthy body. Now, often after I preach a sermon, particularly when we had people in the room, people would leave this room and they would go out and they would say to me, Pastor, that sermon was for me. I simply want to acknowledge to you that this whole series is for me. It's for me. This is a message that I'm preaching to myself. And it's real tempting to want to preach it to you and say, go do this, and then not do it myself. But there are some things in my life that need to change. First and foremost, I need to quit listening to that voice of shame. It's toxic. It doesn't do me any good. And I need to listen to my Heavenly Father who's given me this precious gift of life and trust that whatever He tells me about my body is what I really need. And so I want to give you just one more prayer. The prayer is real simple. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, show me what I must do to have a healthy body so I can have a healthy soul. Heavenly Father, show me what I must do so that I can have a healthy body so I can have a healthy soul. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for all that you have done for us. I thank you most of all for Jesus, who died on a cross to save us from sin and to actually give us the power to have a new and different body. And God, help us not wait until after we die to start taking care of our bodies. Because God, we need a healthy body to have a healthy soul. So help us to do your best with what we have for your glory. And I pray for any who don't know Jesus that they would receive him as Savior and Lord. And I pray that the rest of us who already have that relationship established, that we'd know what we need to do so we can honor you in our bodies. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know how this message has impacted you this morning. I hope God's spoken to you. It may be that you need to pray some of these prayers, make them a discipline. It could be that today God's actually spoken to you and said, hey, part of you having a healthy soul is also inviting me to be Savior and Lord of your life. And if you need to pray that prayer, I'd love to talk with you, email back and forth with you about it. Whatever God's spoken to you today, let me pray for you. Can I do that? Would you email me and just let me know how this message impacted you? My email is claysmith@adbc.org. claysmith@adbc.org. I look forward to hearing from you.
Thanks for joining us for this service from Alice Drive Baptist Church. Alice Drive is one church with two locations. We have a location at the corner of Wise Drive and Loring Mill Road in Sumter. That location has services at 8:30 on Sunday morning, which is a traditional service, two contemporary services, one at 9:45 and one at 11, and then a service on Monday night for people who can't make it on Sunday, and that service is at 7 o'clock. We also have a location called Pocala Church. It meets in Pocala Springs Elementary School on Bethel Church Road in Sumter. That location has two services at 9:45 and 11. I hope we will see you in person very soon. I'm Clay Smith, the lead pastor at Alice Drive Baptist Church in Sumter. Check us out at alicedrive.org. God bless you. Hope to see you soon.